Welcome to Passionate and Practical, the art of dreaming, doing, and serving. I'm your host, Lexi, and today I have Jeanette Tapley on the show, and I'm so excited to have her. She is a fellow podcaster, an author of a devotional that will be coming out this May, and a Disney fanatic, along with a mama of two biological children and one adopted. So we have lots to talk about today. Jeanette, welcome.
Lexi, thank you so much for having me. This is so much fun.
Yay! Okay, so first and foremost, why are you so passionate about Disney?
Man, I wish it was a simple answer, but honestly, I think it comes down to the imagination and creativity that one man had and his drive to push past anything and everything that stood in his way.
That's awesome.
Just so inspired by that.
So tell us about your family. What ages are your kids and what are your family dynamics currently?
Yeah. Okay. So I am married to Jesse. We've been married for 14 years. We've been together for 15 and we just got married really young. It's been a lot of fun growing up together. We have three kids. Like you mentioned before, we have Ezekiel, who is almost 13. We have Titus, who is 10 right now, and then Zoe is 8. So we have like this cool middle age range of kids, and it's a lot of fun. Our daughter Zoe is adopted from Africa. She's from the Democratic Republic of Congo, and she's deaf. So we actually are a signing family. We use ASL to communicate with her. And yeah, our dynamic is we are a loud family with a lot of hand gesturing and a lot of sarcasm.
Oh, I love it. I love watching your Instagram because I feel like I get to know your kids through there. And that's how we met, which is so fun. And I love that fellow podcasters are able to connect via Instagram and we get to have each other on our shows, which is just so fun. So tell us a little bit about your show. It's Time for Coffee. What is it all about? And what do you hope your listeners gain from hearing it?
Yeah, It's Time for Coffee basically stemmed out of like my joy of making friends and sitting down and having a coffee with them, or, you know, a glass of wine, a margarita, anything around the table. You know, I think that so much happens around the table and in community. And I love that. And I know that you have a big heart for that too, Lexi. I just love that we're in this era of Instagram and how we can make internet friends all over the world, but it can be really lonely. And I think, when my kids were little, like yours are now, like I remember being in a really lonely stage, and I lived in Alaska and it was winter and it was hard. And I just remember being like, man, I just wish that I could be with my people more. And I think that we all kind of feel that way. So I wanted to remedy that by just a mom being able to put in her headphones and feel like she was sitting with me and my guest, having a cup of coffee, enjoying this new friendship. And that's kind of been the aim for the last year, just really sitting down with people, getting to know their stories, and then kind of digging into like what God's taught them through those things.
Oh, I love it. And I love your show. I've had several friends that have been on it and it's just so fun to listen to. And it really does. You set the tone of by saying what's in your cup, and you just have a conversation that kind of feels like, okay, we are all remote and in different places, but we feel like we're in the same room, which is awesome. So you love Disney. But you don't just go to Disney with a consumer-only mindset. You have taught your kids to treat cast members like humans and not servants. And I just love that. Growing up in Central Florida and being someone who has been to Disney many, many, many times and also working there, I know that that's just not the narrative that families often walk into the park with or the mindset. It's usually we are here to gain because we've spent all this money and really, we're here to get as much joy sucked out of this place as possible. So what's the story there? How did you and Jesse decide we're not going just to show up and ride the rides and eat the food and all that is fun, but there's a deeper love for an appreciation for the place and also the people that work there?
Yeah, I think it kind of started We went to Disneyland first with our kids, and we just did a quick 2-day trip to Disneyland, and it was so much fun. And Jesse had kind of challenged the kids to say, like, anytime you see a cast member with their name, make sure you say, like, thanks, Joe, or like, use their names. And a cast member overheard him challenge them, and she said, it makes us smile every time someone does that. And so Jesse was like, done. Like, it is his personal mission now to always say names. And we always try to look and see where they're from, because, as you know, the cast members' name tags say, like, their first name and then where they're from. And so we've actually gotten to, like, meet people from, there was a security guard from New Braunfels, where we live now. And we were like, hey, unicorns, because that's the high school mascot here in town. So it was just so fun. Like, so for us to set our kids up with that mentality, gosh, it really started as that. Like, make sure you're saying people's names. But then we also know that we are this family in the upper middle class range of life who can afford to go to Disney, and we can afford this fun stuff. But we also know that, like, that's not what it's all about. Like, our life is a mission field, and we want to be sharing and living Jesus everywhere we go, including Disney World. Like, we don't feel like just because you're in that bubble of the happiest, most magical place on earth, that doesn't mean Jesus isn't there. And I know that you and I have talked about this before. Like, there is a void there. There really, really is. And why not go and have so much fun on top of that? Why not be the light of Jesus? And so we've had some really cool opportunities to share the gospel just as our family. Our family, we really not pride ourselves. I don't mean to say it like that, but our family looks very different. And because we look different, with a little girl who has a brown black skin, we are a walking picture of the gospel. Like, Jesus adopted us into his family with his death on the cross, and we are a part of God's eternal family because of our adoption. And so we actually get to be an image of that. And we've had some really, really cool conversations in line with other guests waiting for Mulan. Like, it's just really neat. And I think that's kind of where it stemmed, where we were just kind of like, okay, we know that we look different. Add in everything that makes us different. So we kind of lean into that. And Disney was just no exception.
Oh, I just love it. I love your heart and your husband and your family's heart for kind of showing up. And it is a place that your family loves and adores so much. But I think there's so much joy from giving as well, because I've seen so often kids throwing absolute temper tantrums at the park, and the parents, or they're falling asleep, and the parents are like, we paid thousands of dollars to be here, and you're sleeping at the park. Like, get your stuff together, kid. And so I feel like because of this expectation that there's supposed to be this like euphoric joy in the park, and when it doesn't happen, and when a kid gets hungry or tired, or they don't want to go on that ride that they've been talking about all year round, the parents just freak out. And so I love that your mentality is just different around, it's not just about receiving, but it's also about giving. And I think that that's where you probably have so much of a blast too, is just getting to know people. And instead of being on a mission, as in, I'm going to get to be the front row of, whatever this ride is, and for 10, I have to go 10 times to this ride, and then I have to go to this show, and then I have to go. And when you just kind of calm down and allow the experience to happen, it just makes it much more of a fun experience. And so, what have some of the reactions been to your kids being so polite? Because I know, as a former cast member, kids can sometimes be awful, and that's usually a product of the parenting. But how have cast members reacted, or what's like a fun story that your kids have been kind to the cast members, and it's kind of made their day?
Well, first of all, I have to say, like, we've had many timeouts at Disney World. There have been many timeouts, or I have a picture of Zoe in full Bibbidi Bobbidi boutique gown and everything, with the sassiest arms crossed angry face. So, like,
Amazing.
they, while we definitely are, we try to, and Jesse has us from sunup to sundown, so we are getting the most out of it. We just try to be a little bit more cheerful about it. But I have, like, leaned in very closely to all three of my kids and been like, if you do not obey right now, I will spank you, or whatever. So we are not perfect, but we do that. I think, some of, to answer your question, I think some of the coolest responses are, like, there was one time where we were, like, we kept putting off a Mickey bar all day long, putting off. And Titus was like, "Mom, it was end of the night, like, fireworks had just happened, and we just didn't plan well." And he was like, "I just really want a Mickey bar, Mom." And he was so sad about it. And a cast member overheard us, and she was like, "Hey, one sec." And so, and because I was apologizing, like, "But I'm so sorry. Like, all of the stands are closing down. I can't get you one." And she's like, "Hey, hold on one second." And she produced two Mickey bars for Zeke, or for Titus and Zoe, which is so precious. And I think as far, like, we've just gotten to meet some really cool cast members because lines are long. And there's always kind of a cast member right around the middle of the line, like, as far as meeting characters and everything. So we've just talked to characters like, "Hey, where are you going to college? Or what's going on? Or what are you going to college for? Or why are you here?" And so our kids have just gotten to see some really cool responses in that. And we've had some really, really neat experiences with deaf cast members. Like, Zoe will be like, "What? That person's signing." So, of course, our whole family stops and we talked to the cast member who's deaf and signing and everything. Or we had a cast member, a really cool thing happened. Jesse and I went to Disney World alone because it's one of our favorite, like, alone trips to do. And the cast member had on her badge that she signed, because if they speak a different language or anything, it's on their badge or on their name tag. And so we were like, "Oh, why do you sign?" So we, like, had this whole conversation about why she used sign language and all of this stuff. And then when we were with our family a couple months later, she recognized us. And she was like, "Oh, my gosh, is this your daughter?" And, like, she made sure she was with us when we met the character. I think we're meeting Tinkerbell. And so she made sure she was with us and helped interpret with Tinkerbell for Zoe. It was just such cool moments. And I think because we're willing to look up and look around us at Disney World, we have so much more fun because we get to interact with these people who, I don't know that they're dying for interaction, because I think that they're definitely, like, surrounded by people all the time. But some cast members have become great Instagram friends of ours, and we go back and see them trip after trip after trip. And one time, like, we had cast members, like, upgrade our table at a restaurant because it was Zoe's birthday. It's just, it's so neat. Like, we've had some really cool moments with cast members.
Yeah, they are kind of given the ability to make magic happen. And yes, it's incredible because your family is so sweet and so special. Like, they probably are dying to, you know, serve you guys, because I've had that experience too when I've gone to the park not as a cast member, just being kind to people and what that does, and it just kind of multiply it. It's kind of like, you know, God talks about, you know, we give and then he gives us tenfold. And it's like, yep. I think that that's kind of the, and it's not, we don't give because of that. We're not being kind to the cast members because we want them to give us something, but it's really cool when you make their day and then they just blow your socks off with some kind of amazing magical moment. So,
yes.
It's a so really fun. It's a really special place, but I just love your mindset on the, just even the power of questions and teaching your kids about that. And obviously you have a podcast, so you know the power of asking the right questions and getting to know someone's story and asking them where they go to college. And it just opens up such an opportunity for dialogue in a way that, "Hey, how are you?" does not, you know? So I try really hard to ask specific questions instead of just when I'm at Publix, like when, which I don't know if you have Publix, but Publix is our grocery store. Here, when I'm at the grocery store, I try to say, ask them something about maybe some kind of pin that they have on or something, in which obviously Disney has trading pins, so those are easy to talk about, but ask about their name or ask about something to do with their day or just some cheesy question that kind of opens up a better understanding for who they are rather than just how are you. So it just seems like you guys are really intentional about that, which I love. So tell us a little bit more about adoption. How has that shaped you as a mom, and especially with a deaf child? What does life look like with her?
Gosh, our life looks so different than what it would have looked like without her. We were never the family that set out, or Jesse and I were never the couple that said, like, "We're always going to adopt." Like, it wasn't even on our radar. Like, we had friends that adopted and everything, but it just wasn't what, it wasn't time. And so when we moved to Texas, God really set it on our heart that we were going to move forward with an adoption. And from there, from the time we said yes to God's calling on our life, it was about 3 years till she came home. And my life as a mom with adoption is, gosh, it's refining. It's beautiful. It's so hard. She is just like me in so many ways. So God is so sweet in knitting our families together like that. But there's also, because she's just like me, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, why are you doing this? Like, she brings out the best and the worst in me so often, which I think is most motherhood. But it's so neat. And our family looks so different right now because Zoe was falling behind in school and we had to like make a change. And she just, because she had already gotten language so late, she didn't have language until she was almost five. She got it so late that we had to, she went into school almost right away, but she was still so late. And so it was just falling behind in school. So we actually just moved her up to a full-time deaf school. Well, not full-time deaf school, but she's in a deaf school now, where she goes to school, and we actually drop her off on Sunday nights and she comes home on Friday. So she's gone Wow. all week. And as a mom, that was a really, like, to release that kind of control was really, really hard for me. But I am so proud of the progress that she's made, that I just know that she's in the right spot, and she's getting full ASL all the time. Like, she's fully immersed into this language and this culture. It's beautiful. But it's been really hard. The cool thing is Jessie and I were talking to her teacher about some stuff, and Jessie kind of was giving Zoe a little bit of leeway, like, well, you know, she's adopted and, you know, we need to make sure we're taking that into account. And her teacher says, well, I just want you to know, Zoe's like one of three adopted children in my class. And he's like, oh, okay, so you know what you're doing. And then even in her dorm situation, there's another little girl adopted from Africa. So she's one of many in so many different aspects. And it's been really, really cool to see her adapt and change and grow, just even in the 5 months that she's been up there. But it also has really shaped our family. And when she's home, we really try to stay together, stay connected. And we're really anxious for summer, just because it will be all of us all the time, you know, aside from like summer camp and all of those things. But we're really adjusting into this new season. And it's been really good, but it's also been really different. I don't want to say it's always been hard, but it's a different thing, because we do get the opportunity to go back and look at our boys and say, like, okay, how are you guys doing? Like, what's going on throughout the week? And then when Zoe's home, it's our family, and we're reunited, all of us. And it's been really cool.
Yeah. What would her perspective be from some of the things that she reports to you about school? Like, what does friendship look like for her? What does being immersed in this culture look like for her? And how would she say that she is adjusting?
Well, she loves school so much, and she has from the get-go. Like, when she first started school, it was it's always been a joy for her to go to school. And so when she started this new school, she was so excited. And when she, because at first we were going to bring her home a lot more during the week, because it's only an hour away, but it's also an hour with city traffic. So we fought that a lot. So when she got up to school to start, she's like, hey, nobody else comes home during the middle of the week. I'm not doing that. And I was like, well, yeah, we want you home. And she's like, no, thanks, though. So so we kind of let her roll with that and make that decision, not because she's, you know, it's her, but because she actually has some good reasoning. Like, no, this is like the day that we go out and do fun things, and I don't want to miss that. And so as far as like friendships, it's really cool that she gets to have these friends that she gets to communicate with solely. Some of her hearing friends need, you know, mom or other friends to interpret for her. And that's not fun. Like, who wants to talk to their friend with their mom right there? Mm-hmm. Or telling them like, oh, this is what Zoe said. She's like, nope, go, go, go. And some of her best friends are hearing, and they've been really sweet and have learned sign language and can communicate with Zoe. But for her to have peers that are full communication with her on her level has been really great. And I think she would say that too, that it's been really freeing, I think, for her. And then I think honestly, for her to have people where she is like one of many, Zoe has always kind of fought the system where she looks differently. It, like if she needs an interpreter at church, she gets really mad, which she has an interpreter at church, and but she just doesn't want the interpreter to be like, I'm here for Zoe. She's like, no, stand over in the corner and I'll watch you. Like, don't, I don't want to know. I don't want people to know that I'm different. And so I think for her to not have to worry about that in this environment is really freeing for her.
That's incredible. So what would be some advice for maybe mom friends of yours where someone, you know, your girls are friends with each other and you, I'm sure that when people are not aware of how to react in a situation, sometimes they act a little weird or they just kind of pull back. So how can you kind of speak to mamas who are listening if they have a child who has special needs or has any kind of friends that are have any special needs? How do you encourage them to press in and not to pull back and to actually have the conversations and how to encourage their kids to build friendships with people that look different than them, that that hear or see or act different than them and or learn different than them, you know, those kind of things.
Yeah, I think I have some other friends who I think would feel the same, and I hate to like generalize or anything, but I would say like ask questions. Like, we had a friend and her little guy had Crizon syndrome, and we would just ask like, hey, is this okay? Or can he do this? Or, like even just kind of setting out those initial, like if you have questions, like when you're first meeting, like, hey, can I ask you a couple questions? Like even play and like that, this might sound kind of dumb, but I don't know. Or, just, I think asking is always, always best, and being okay with maybe not looking stupid, but looking humble, like just humbling yourself to those questions. Cause I think if people ask us stuff, we're always quick to answer. Like, and even the silly questions, like we've been asked, and it's just so funny. We've been asked, well, how does she read? Does she have to read Braille? And it's like, no. Like Zoe can see, she just can't hear. And it's always like, that's always a funny one. But it's just like, well, how do you guys do this? Or how do you do that? And, we have friends who still to this day, like some of our closest friends are like, I didn't even think that you guys would have to do that differently. And I'm trying to, somebody asked about Zoe watching movies. I'm like, oh man, Zoe loves movies. Like, well, how does she understand it? And it's like, well, turn your volume off and you watch a movie. Like, it's all there. You're just not hearing it. Like, so it's just really interesting. But yeah, I would say just ask. And then, you know, one thing we've just taught our kids is like different isn't bad. We've just tried to be really intentional on saying, on teaching them that from the little, like go up and ask that kid if they want to play, like, or just saying like, hey, how can you play? What can you do? Like just being sweet and being, attentive is never the wrong thing.
I love that. And being curious, I think is okay. I think so many people fear that they're going to ask either a stupid question or an offensive question. And for me, sometimes that's where I'm so nervous to offend, but chances are someone else has been more offensive than you if you're trying and you have a good heart in it. And that's, I think where, that's a great point is just to ask those questions. So you mentioned that y'all hadn't really necessarily set out to be adoptive parents. So how would you encourage someone who maybe feels like, okay, adoption isn't for me, but I like that it's your story. How would you encourage them to maybe open their heart up a little bit? Or maybe what are some prayers that someone could be praying, even if they don't think it's for them? And if they do think it's for them, kind of what's some encouragement?
Gosh, that's such a good question. And the first thing that comes to my mind is the scriptures that like adoption is actually a calling on all of us. Yep. And it's not necessarily like you have to go and adopt, but it's like caring for the orphan and the widow is a, I don't want to say like it, but it's a call from God. It is a call upon our lives as Christians. And, so I always say like, pray that like, Lord, lead me to the fatherless. Lord, open my heart, open my eyes. Like it, the fatherless and the widowed are our calling as Christians and to care for them. And so there's that verse, it's Psalm 68, 5 and 6, where it says he sets the lonely in families. Just pray that, like, Lord, is there somebody for us? Or how can we care for the lonely? So there's a verse in James that talks about, like, true and pure religion is caring for the orphans and the widows. And so I just think that we're all called upon it. And if you're not called to have somebody come into your family, then my biggest challenge is to find a family who is adopting and to partner with them. They're probably doing some sort of fundraiser. They're probably in the corner crying because their child just came home and this is really hard. Bring them a meal. Buy that mom coffee. Do something that shows that you support them in any way. I was just talking to a friend who they're in the beginning processes of adopting. And she was just kind of like, yeah, I have the mindset that God's going to provide and we don't even need to ask for help. But her husband kind of shocked her and said, like, no, God's calling us to partner with others. Like, this is the body of Christ. And one of my biggest goals in my business is that I will be able to hand somebody a fat check and just be like, listen, I know adopting is hard and I know that you have this calling and I know that it's really scary to start. So here you go.
That's phenomenal.
It was something that happened to us where it was like, we don't even know where we're going to begin. But every time that we needed it, there was somebody there with something for us. And so it's beautiful when you get to partner along with somebody. And I mean, we had people partner with us in the sense of, like, Zoe came home and we had pajamas that day, you know, like, oh, I forgot that I don't have jammies for her. Or, hey, I know it's really hard for you to go to the grocery store now. Like, here's a bunch of snacks for your crew. And it's just, it was so awesome just to be loved on. Financially, it was nice to be loved on. People brought us lunches when she first came home. It just, every little step matters. And then if you want some good books to read that's going to break your heart towards adoption, Kisses from Katie by Katie Davis is such a great book. That's the book I was reading when God was like, listen, I've called you to be a mom. And there are kids that don't have one. What are you going to do about it? And it just broke my heart. Like, all I've ever wanted to be was a mom. And to think that there was a child out there that would never have one if I didn't say yes, just crushed me.
It's incredible. I love that book. It was one of the fastest reads of my life. I think I read it in 2 days, in two sittings. And I just remember watching an interview with her, and they were like, wow, like, when people respond to you, you know, you went away from your home in comfort and with this Christian family, and you went and lived in Uganda, and you adopted, you were single and you adopted all these kids. How did you do it? And she's like, I'm not doing anything apart from what Jesus asked me to do. And it was just, the bar was like raised at that point, not in a pressure way, but it just was like, wow, she doesn't actually see it as anything other than obedience. And that is a beautiful thing. And so I'm sure that you have a lot of people that say, oh, I'm so glad you stepped into adoption. It's just not for us. And isn't that an interesting thing? Like, I almost want to pray for people that, and not in a like, oh, I'm going to pray for your heart, but just pray for people to have their eyes open to what God is calling them into. Because I think so often people think that the gospel equals safety, and it's so far from the truth. It's like, no. The gospel doesn't say anything about being safe. In fact, like, most of the disciples died because of their faith. And why do we think that 2,000 years later, we are just supposed to live in comfort and go to a very air-conditioned building, worship, feel good about ourselves, and then go home and live the way we want to live? Like, that's not the gospel. And so I love that you and your family have stepped into adoption and are just transparent about your journey and just willing to talk to people and encourage them that this might be the step that God's calling them to. And I have, several years back, I just felt, but even before I was married, that that would be a part of our story at some point. And I don't know what it looks like, but I heard when you're talking about orphans and widows, there's a widows ministry here in Chattanooga, and I heard the executive director talk about it, and he was saying, so often we hear about raising money for youth trips or for women's ministry or this men's outing. But the Bible doesn't really talk about those things, but what it does talk about is caring for the orphans and the widows, and that is a non-negotiable. And so I was like, oh dang, conviction. But it's truly an incredible opportunity to step into what God's doing in the lives of people that are not in our biological, you know, nucleus. Like, we get to step out and say, okay, like this little one doesn't have a mama and a dada. And like, this is a cool opportunity to just really be the hands and feet of Jesus. So I just love your story and love that you guys have stepped into that. And I know that you're inspiring many, many families and many to come. So thank you for being obedient. It's just really amazing.
Thanks. And we always try to say, like, we don't ever want to glorify it. Like, one, we're not Zoe's savior. She's a gift to us. Mm. And two, like, we share a lot of the good stuff. I know that you feel the same. Like, I would never post a terrible... There's one time I posted a photo where she's just sitting on the ground outside because she was mad at me. But that was once everything calmed down. So it's, we were just talking to a family about adoption and their heart for it. And I said, listen, we're going to tell you the 5% hard parts. 95% is awesome and it's really great. Sometimes it's 50-50, but we want you to know that, yeah, God, if God's called you to this, then, you know, that cliche, like, if God's called you to it, he'll call you through it. Mm-hmm. But it's like, yeah, it's really hard, and it's not plan A. Like, adoption is not birthed out of the first plan. Adoption is out of heartbreak and hurt, and unfortunately, it's children having to deal with these hurts. It's not me having to deal with this hurt, and I can get over it. But yeah, it's definitely God's plan for some families out there, whether they want to walk in it or not. And it's just... Ooh, I could get on a soapbox and go all day, but yeah, we were never called to a life of comfort. I remember when we were getting ready to move out of Alaska, I always say it kind of like cliche, or not cliche, but like kind of like in a story, like God's like, hey, Jeanette, how comfortable are you? And I'm like, oh, I'm so comfy. Thanks, God. And he's like, okay, well, here's the problem. I never called you to a life of comfort. Wow. Look at my disciples. When were they ever comfortable? Wow. When did they ever have everything together? Like, it's time to go. I'm like, oh, okay. So living out of our comfort zone is definitely more of the calling I think God's got for us. And I think as Americans especially, we are definitely all too comfortable.
Yeah. And I love that you mentioned the story of the family that was adopting, and the mom was like, I don't think we need help. And the dad was like, oh yeah, we do. And yeah. I think that the beauty of adoption is it makes us more transparent for the needs that we have. And then we have to step into community, because otherwise we will be drowning. And so that's anywhere in the mission field, is like, if we want to have a you know, podcast as our ministry, like these are things that we do. Like, we found each other because we know that we can't do it alone, and we need each other to lean on, to ask questions. Oh, what kind of software do you use? Sometimes those kind of questions, to just like, sometimes this is exhausting, like, let's just chat. And so it's just any type of ministry always comes with impact that we could, you know, use the help in relying on community, which is how God designed it. He wants us to be in community. So that's incredible. So kind of taking a shift as we close out our time, you are launching a devotional this month. So super excited for you. I cannot wait to see it. Tell us about it. Tell us what your favorite parts about it, what the process was like for you, how it was refining. Obviously, God taught you things through it. So just give it all to us.
Oh man, it has been such a fun process. I've always wanted to write a book, and I have said, like, this was not the book I thought I was ever going to write. So I am like a Baptist pastor's daughter. Like, I was raised in the church. And so for me to write a devotional, I'm like, I am so unworthy. And so it's really, gosh, I love the fact that it, the people who have read it so far have said, it's like sitting down and you telling us what God's taught you. And I'm like, okay, good. That's exactly what I want it to feel like. I want it to feel like You're going to open up your devotional in the morning or whenever you have time to do a devotional. And it's going to feel like me just saying, like, here's the scripture and this is what God taught me through it. Like, what did he teach you through it? Like, I want it to be very conversational. I want it to be very, I just want it to be really refining. And as I went through it myself and looked at it, it's really, really, really God walking me through my identity. And, which is so interesting. It's like my identity and the idols I carry and, the times I wish I would have rushed or I could have rushed his process or anything like that. It's also my heart for Disney is in there. Like, I talk about how I watched Moana and sobbed because the gospel was so present to me in the movie Moana. Like, and just, it has been really refining. Just this last month in April, I handed separate weeks to different people and said, okay, I need you to read this. I need you to give me feedback. I want it. But then also, it felt like I stripped down in front of 12 of my closest friends naked and said, okay, what do y'all think? And then I got notes and I was like, y'all don't just think I look fine. Like, come on. And so it was really refining in the sense of like, God was saying like, yeah, step into community, which makes us better. And saying like, okay, so I need to change a couple things here. And, I had some really sweet friends say like, hey, this day doesn't point to Jesus. It points to you. Hmm. And that was, it was hard to hear. And it was really, like I just said, it was really refining, but it was also such a beautiful thing for me to look at my friend and say, thank you so much. This is exactly what I needed to know.
That's a great friend.
Such a great friend. And there was people who were like, this needs more scripture. This needs, you know, some of the stuff we got back was opinion, but some of the stuff we got back was really just honest feedback. But the best feedback I heard throughout all of it was, Jeanette, this sounds like you. It sounds like you're sitting down with us, reading and telling us what God taught you. And that was the best thing to hear. And so I am in the middle of kind of refining a couple of days as we're talking. And that's been really fun. But it's also just kind of like, okay, God, like, I thought this was good. Like, what do I need to change? Or how do I need to point to you better? Or like, one friend said, I think you might have twisted this scripture a little bit. And so I was like, oh, I don't want to do that. And so it's really me standing there saying, like, I'm no expert, but like, I've been a Christian my entire life. So we can walk in this together. And I'm such a fan. And I hope that anybody who follows me or is friends with me online knows that I'm a fan of friendship. And I am a firm believer that God is our friend. He's our Father and he's our Savior, but he wants to be your friend. And what better way to like have a friendship with God than to like be able to sit down every morning and say, God, whew, yesterday was rough. Like just to be able to like have a casual conversation with the creator of the universe. It just really like our friendships matter and our friendship with God matters. So that's kind of like, it's time for Jesus is set in just this aspect of like have time with your Lord every morning or every day, whenever you can, like I said, whenever you can squeeze it in, but also just know that like, I'm right there with you. Like we are not perfect people, but gosh, together we can make some way.
That's awesome. So it's called It's Time for Jesus, and it'll be launching sometime in May or early June 2019.
Yes.
And once it's up and on Amazon, then we will link it to this episode so that y'all can get a copy. Jeanette, thank you so much for being on the show. This has been such a pleasure.
Oh, Lexi, this has been so much fun. I'm so thankful that we found each other on that sweet app called Instagram.
Yes, amen. Ladies, you are infinitely valuable. You were created with a unique set of gifts, skills, and talents created by God for his purpose and his glory. So let's be his hands and feet to this broken world. Get it, girl. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day. If this message has encouraged you, then please click to subscribe and share with a friend who may be inspired by the message. Also, if you have an event coming up and you're looking for a speaker, click the link below to get in touch with me.